pleasure at this time to give to welcome to you, former WWE Cruiserweight Champion and currently working for Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Today, I give you Jimmy Noble, now known as Junior Gibson. How you doing today, Jimmy?
Good. How you doing, boss?
I'm doing excellent. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for the holiday tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure also. And, that name when we started with you, James Gibson, your real name, your wrestler, Jimmy Noble, is there any confusion by the fans to, identify you as James Gibson now, or are you getting over as James Gibson now on the Indies?
I think, you know, it's a little confusion, maybe. Well, you know, for Ring of Honor and New Japan, you know, it's New Japan, I'm new altogether, so it really doesn't matter what her name is. In Ring of Honor, the fans are, you know, they're really hardcore fans, so they pretty much already knew that I was James Gibson. Or that, you know, I don't think it's much of a difference right now.
Okay. How good is the pro wrestling business?
I was just in West Virginia. I live in West Virginia, and I just followed that childhood dream, you know, to the bitter end or whatever. You know, I was able to meet a couple of local independent wrestlers in West Virginia, and I started wrestling there. And then a guy by the name of Danny Ray, you know, took me under his wing, and he started to, you know, try to train me and help me out. And then in '97, I come to Florida, and that's when I started training with Dean Malenko, and mostly Dean Malenko's students. Tony Mamalu, Jeremy Lopez, Chad Collier.
Okay, and tell me about your training experience at the WWE Power Plant.
It was hard, you know. It was real hard, actually. You know, they do like a dojo or whatever. You know, you coming out of there, would really drill you. You know, Sarge, Buddy Lee Park was really a great guy, but when it comes to training, you know, he's really rough, really stern. And it was brutal, lots of squats, lots of bumping, lots of drills, lots of matches. It was pretty hard. It tested me big time. But, you know, I made it through it, so.
When did you find out you were going to be part of the WCW television show?
Well, I was up in WCW for a little bit, and I did a couple of Saturday night tapings, and they released me, which I don't know if a lot of people even know that.
No.
And, I was up for about 3 or 4 months. They released me, and I moved over to Alabama and went to work for Robert Gibson for a little bit. And then they brought me back for a Saturday night taping, and, you know, Jimmy Hart pulled me to the side, and he told me about the whole Young Dragons idea, and asked me what I thought about working in masks and stuff. And, of course, I told him, yeah, shoot, you know, heck yeah. And then, you know, a couple of weeks after that, Jimmy Hart put it all together. It was all Jimmy Hart. I owe him a lot. He was the one that, you know, gave me the opportunity to get my first real break in pro wrestling. And plus, to eventually, you know, it helped me gain my job back in WCW. But, yeah, it was awesome. We did a Saturday night tape as Young Dragons. And that week they called me and said I'd be going to Nitro. So it was pretty fast and pretty overwhelming. And I was excited.
So was Jimmy Hart's idea to do the Young Dragons angle?
Yes, yeah, it was all Jimmy. He was the man. He really come along out of nowhere and, you know, helped get my career back on track, or really started, I should say, not back on track, but, you know, it was all his idea, and, you know, he pulled for me, and he didn't even know me. You know, he'd just seen me a few times, but, you know, I owe a lot to Jimmy Hart for really getting me my first big break in wrestling.
Did you enjoy the Young Dragons group teaming with Kent Hayashi and Jimmy Yang?
Yeah, very much, you know. I mean, at that time, like, I've enjoyed anything, but I like Jimmy and Kaz a lot, and of course, like any team, we don't always see eye to eye, but as far as our chemistry together, it was always there, and I think we always had good, exciting matches and stuff, so I liked it a lot.
Do you keep in touch with them? Do they know Kent Hayashi's in All Japan right now?
Yeah, I speak with Kaz every so often, more Jimmy than Kaz, you know, but you talk to him a lot when you're actually working in the same place, but when you're different companies, you know, you tend not to keep touch with everybody. It's just hard to talk to everybody you've met over the years, especially when you've been in as many different areas as I have.
Yeah, well, one thing I really liked in WCW was the Young Dragons against Three Count, and a lot of us feel that team never really got the full potential it deserved. Do you feel that way, or do you think it played out pretty well?
You know, it could win either way. You know, we wrestled each other a lot on TV, and we wrestled each other a lot on live events. Yeah, it's a toss depends, you know, what the fans are into. You know, some might have been digging it, wanting more of it, and some people might have wanted to move on, because even once I split with the Dragons and a team with Evan Courageous, it was still the same six of guys, and I think we might have played it out. We just never got a, you know, good finish to the whole complete feud.
Yeah, the next question for you was tagging with Evan Courageous. It was kind of a strange way they did that. They put you with Evan Courageous. Do you, and it seemed like, you know, they put you together. I really liked the team of Evan Courageous and Jamie Noble. Do you ever think you really got a fair shake or a fair push as that tag team?
No, I thought, well, they split it up, and, you know, towards the end, you know, Evan and me were a team or whatever, and then Evan turned on me and got back with Shannon Moore, but whenever they turned on me, that was the last time I was ever on a TV again for WCW, actually, last time I ever wrestled with a company, period, and then they didn't book me the next week, and then the following week, I was booked to go to TV, and, you know, my child was born, you know, my wife, went in labor that morning before my flight left, so I called, and, you know, of course, they didn't make the show. And then after that, I was kind of in limbo. They weren't using me, and then all of a sudden, I see, you know, Vince buying the program, you know, on TV, and I'm at home wondering if I even got a job. But I have a clue what was going on, so, you know, I don't think me and Evan really got a go to our potential, but at the same time, I don't think that me and him had the chemistry to be really successful, so it didn't matter to me.
You know, one thing that was really strange about WCW was they were always changing whoever was in charge of the creative department. Who were some of the people you came in contact with creative, and was it as chaotic as it seemed to all the observers that, you know, different writers every week, different people in management? Was it really that chaotic for the wrestlers?
You know, at that point in time, I was just so happy to have a job, and, you know, just so overwhelmed to be in locker rooms like Sting and, you know, Sid Vicious and Steiners were still huge at that time, so, but I was just happy to be there and just doing the best I could to keep my job because, like I said, I was released and brought back, and at the same time, they were constantly releasing people. But everybody I dealt with was always real nice to me. You know, of course, Jimmy Hart on the Saturday tapings, and he was always there on Nitro to kind of coach me or whatever if I needed, like, some advice. But, you know, as far as I always dealt with Kevin Sullivan for a little while, and then I dealt with, you know, Terry Taylor for a little while, and then there was FBI, maybe? Yeah, him. That's about it, I guess, you know, a little bit of intrusive, but not really. I usually just dealt with Ed and Terry Taylor a lot. That was about it.
Okay, maybe. What do you consider your best match in WCW?
My best match in WCW? I think my best performances is a Super Bowl Revenge pay-per-view. I was out of the mask and wrestling as Jamie Noble. But it was like every man for himself, like all six of us against each other, same six guys, but it was free-for-all. And I think that was, if anybody goes back and gets that tape and watches that match, I thought I was a standout performer in that match. And I thought that I shined more, worked harder. That was just my personal favorite match in WCW.
Definitely. How hard is it to wrestle under a mask?
The particular two masks I wore when I was Young Dragons, they had there was no mouth piece, there was no, like, my mouth was really, really open, really good, so I never had a problem with the oxygen, you know, because, you know, just that part of the mask wasn't there, it was just my face and skin, so it was simple, my mask was, the two that I wore, so I never had a problem with that.
What was the low point in seeing with WCW?
Excuse me?
What was the low point in your stay at WCW?
I don't know. I really don't want to pinpoint one thing. There really, you know, was no low point. You know, of course, at the time, you know, I was thrilled to be there. After a while, you know, you start setting new goals and want to achieve new things. And, you know, sometimes you're being, you know, disappointed if you weren't on TV or if you weren't exactly in an angle. But you gotta remember, 4 years before that, I was working for almost no money and having a real job on the side. really was no low point for me in WCW.
Okay. Being a low point, maybe, because I didn't realize that WWE being released, and, you know, maybe at the time they thought okay. 10-01, you just used Matt Stricker for the HWA Scissorweight title. At the time you were HWA, did you get kind of encouragement from WWE that you'd be up soon? Did you feel like you're developing well, that you'll be brought up to the main roster fairly soon?
Not at first. You know, at first I thought I was going to be ready just a couple months. And then, you know, I realized I wasn't. And so I just kept doing the best I could, whatever. And then I was getting, you know, positive feedback from, Tom Pritchard. And, you know, Dean Malenko was coming out of the camp every so often. I knew him from years, you know, from training with him down here in WCW. So, about 6, 7, 8 months in, I started getting some real positive feedback. And then once it started, they just kept building and building and building to finally, you know, they brought me up.
Yeah, it was actually June 6th, 02, you debuted on SmackDown with Nydia. When did you find out you were going to have a valet for television in Nydia?
About 3 days before.
Okay. And what was your experience working with Nydia as a valet?
At first, you know, I didn't really know her. I mean, I'd met her a few times, but me and Dean were both really scared and really worried, and we didn't know how it'd pan out. You know, we had a lot of doubts about it. Actually, we didn't even want it, but it turned out to be an awesome ideal, and we turned out to have awesome chemistry, and, you know, she was very professional and learned very fast, so it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, you know.
Yeah, I think you both had different pressures. I mean, you came through the WWE system after WCW, and she won a tough enough contest. So it seemed like there was a lot of pressure on both you guys to perform well.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was a big opportunity. You only get one chance to make first impression, and, we were a little nervous, but I had experience, and she had uncanny professionalism. I mean, you'd be surprised as far as how charismatic and you know, things of that nature, how quick she caught on, so it worked out for us.
I gotta say, my favorite promo or angle you guys did was when you guys were in India, and you guys were doing a trailer park gimmick, and you came into the money, and you said something, it came out of the theater, and you said that you guys could spoilers, you guys go up to Applebee's that night. That was my favorite promo. I wish I had that on tape. That was priceless, so.
Yeah, we had fun with that one. That was actually right outside of Madison Square Garden, we did that.
Do you think when they moved Nydia over to Raw that really hurt your push?
Yes, I think, well, I don't really want to say that because I'd already had a split with her, and I beat her up in a blindfold match, and we did the blind gimmick, and I was, had the mask on at the pay-per-view, and yes, we might have could have pushed that angle a little more, but we pretty much tapped out as far as that goes, me and her. Once they did the split and I choked her out and everything, there wasn't really nowhere else to go except for her trying to find somebody to bring on me, and I think that would have been like beating a dead horse. So it could have worked maybe, or, you know, might not have. I don't think her going to Raw affected me anyway, you know, whatsoever.
Yeah, what did you think when they put you in the ring against Nydia? Do you think that was a little unusual to do a man versus woman type match?
I think that they have confidence in me.